Latinos?
Yeah, it was.
Except we were on the wrong side here.
Yeah, I left out because he's on the way back up.
We're not finishing the notes.
I want to wish everybody a good morning and glad we're all here. And if you're listening on our, I guess it's our radio show, or listening through your computer, we want to welcome you. And we always mention, if you have any questions out there and when you're listening, you can always call the church building and get some information to answer your questions. And I've mentioned before, there's a 24/7 broadcasting on HarrisburgChurchOfChrist.com. And it's not only from this church or this congregation. There's other congregations throughout the United States that you can listen to that on. On our announcements this morning, let's remember Naoma and Dustin Jackson and Naoma's husband, Rode. He was sick last week. Let's remember them in our prayers. And let's remember Josh Blair's, his health is improving, but I think Briar's sick this morning. So let's remember Briar in our prayers this morning and the Blair family. And let's...
Breaking news.
Yeah, right. Okay. Breaking news. David just gave me an update on Naoma is having breathing problems and she needs to stay close to her oxygen today. Anyone who wants to participate in the And the Compassion Cards needs to meet with Stacy and Krista after service today. Meet in the men's meeting room. That's over there. So let's remember Naomi in our prayers, and then the announcement about the Compassion Cards with Krista and Stacy. Our shut-ins today are, let's remember Rose Beattie, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie King. These are all homebound. Our birthdays today, in February we had, yesterday was Josh Blair's birthday. In March 3rd, Jamie Poe's birthday. March 4th is David Hutchcraft. March 5th is David and Stacy's anniversary. Pearl Hyatt's birthday is March 10th. And Kim Williams' birthday is March 16th. Sandy's birthday is March 19th. And Mike and Melissa Porter is going to celebrate their anniversary on the 22nd. Also in the bulletin, there's a little note in the middle of the second page about the Harrisburg Church of Christ Facebook page for the church. Let's see here. I gave that announcement. Miss Ross had given James Miller a note, said that her brother Willard Quill had died yesterday. We're sorry to hear that, and the church gives us our sympathies. Also, HL's nephew, Doug Spiceland, is now in a rehab center in Murray, Kentucky. And he's doing better, and she wants to thank you for the prayers and the thoughts. So let's remember Doug. It sounds like what he's gone through, he's doing pretty good. So, and let's just keep praying for him. Also, we have from Jane Turpin, Harrisburg Church of Christ thanks you so much for the calls, gifts, and thoughts and care of the family while my father Jerry Turpin was ill. And we always truly appreciated the love and trueness or love and compassion. And she signed it, Jane Turpin, and for the family. And I'll put this card back up on the foyer. Our announcements today were by me. The evangelism prayer is going to be given by James McMillan. James Miller is leading our singing today. Don DeMario's got our first prayer. Me or James and Ken are going to be on the Lord's table today. Lee Merriweather has a scripture reading, which is Matthew 16, verses 17 through 19. And the sermon this morning is Kingdom of Heaven. And our closing prayer will be by Mike Porter. And this evening, Doug's going to give a lesson on training for visitors. Also, we want to welcome, you know, anybody at 9:30 for class on Lord's Day, at 10:30 for preaching, also at 5 o'clock tonight, and then Wednesday at 6. I've left anybody out. Is there any other announcements? If not, we'll leave it to James Moore.
Let's all pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you have sent Christ to be our teacher. We know, Father, while he was here on earth, that he taught as many as he could, and he made disciples out of many as he could. And he has left us with that same opportunity and the same as he did here on earth. His request is for us to do the same thing. We know, Father, that as we go out to the community that and speak with individuals, or as we're going to the grocery store or wherever, that is part of our evangelism that we need to do, is to welcome each and every door that is opened to us to speak about the Lord. We know, Father, that as we continue this program, that we are looking forward for it to being successful. We know, Father, that anything that's successful is determined on how much effort we put into it. So we pray, Father, that each and every one that is here, that they put all the effort that they can into this so that we can bring more disciples to you to help bring more to your will. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Our first song selection this morning, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. This is song number 200 for anyone that is following along in our hymnals this morning. Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, song number 200.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise, give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, far above the earth and sky. Let the praises give Jehovah, they were made at His command. His decree shall ever stand. From the earth, O praise Jehovah, all ye floods, ye dragons all. Fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds that hear Him call. Let the praise give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, Princes, graders, judges all. Praise His name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let the praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, far above the earth and sky.
The song that we'll sing before we're led in our opening prayer this morning, More Love to Thee, O Christ. This is song 435 for anyone that's following in our hymnals. More Love to Thee, O Christ, song 435. We'll sing this song and then we'll bow together in prayer.
More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to Thee, more love to Thee, more. Joy I crave, sought peace and rest. Now Thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to Thee, more love to Thee, more love to Thee.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today very thankful for the opportunity to meet here and worship you. We're thankful for all the blessings that you share with us. Father, there are many of our number that have needs, are physically and even spiritually at times. We need your grace and your assistance and your help. Father, I'm thinking this morning of Briar Blair, and he's suffering with RSV and had to go to the ER this morning. So please look over him and the rest of the family so that they don't come down with the same problems. Father, looking at for Ken White as well, he has some serious bruising and scraping of his arm, and he's needing a little touch to help him to heal. Father, we're so thankful for the many things that you do for us, but Father, there are, like I said, so many that do need help to heal and recover. Please be with those folks. Father, we also have conflict in the world, new issues that have happened over the last couple days. Please be with the world leaders. Help them to find a way to put the war efforts at ease and bring peace and hopefully comfort to those in those areas. Father, as we go through this service, help us to understand what we hear. Help us to teach what we hear. Help us to bring light to the community and reach other people that they might come and join us. Be with us as we go through this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before we commune together, we will sing the song, "Tis Set, the Feast Divine." That's song 644 in our hymnals. "Tis Set, the Feast Divine," song 644. We will sing this song and then share together the Lord's Supper.
"Tis set, the feast divine, the bread, the fruit of the vine, and saints commune before the shrine in the supper of the Lord. Make we the Lord discern His death.
Give thanks for bread. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to commune at your table. We thank you for this bread, which Jesus said was his body that was broken in account of us. And we ask that you take our minds back to the time of the cross, to the time of the great sacrifice that Christ gave for us, and that we take of this emblem, which is in a manner which is pleasing unto you. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Ken to give thanks for the fruit of the vine.
Father, we're thankful for each home that's represented here today. We're thankful for this fruit of the vine, which represents the Christ's blood. Pray that those who partake will do so in a pleasing manner in thy sight. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. As we know, that's the end of the Lord's Supper, but also it's mentioned and we're commanded in the Bible that we should give as we've been prospered. We've all been prospered here in this, living in this great country, so we have an opportunity to help the church, to spread the gospel and do the things that we need to do here in this congregation. We provide whatever we provide for, through the gospel and other material things, but mainly the money is used for the gospel. And we ask that you be the individuals that are in charge of this money, for we know it's all God's money. So let's be with these individuals too. Let's give thanks. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to give as we've been prospered. And we ask that you be the individuals that are in charge of your money, that they use this money to spread the gospel and do other things for the church. And we ask that you watch over them and guide them, that and everything that we do here is pleasing unto you. Please guide us and direct us in all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our next song selection, It Is Well With My Soul. This is song 345 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. It Is Well With My Soul, song 345.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
This time, if you would, please mark our song of encouragement, that song that we will sing after this morning's lesson. That number is 344, the same opening where that one was. Jesus Calls Us is our invitation hymn. And then keep your songbooks in hand, please. And turn next to song number 249. This song will require our songbooks of us. And this song title is How Precious Is the Book. Song number 249, How Precious Is the Book. We will sing that song before our scripture reading in this morning's lesson.
How precious is a book divine by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp its precepts shine to guide my soul to heaven. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine. Lamp to my feet and a light to my way, to guide me safely home.
It sweetly cheers my drooping heart in this dark veil of tears. Light to my life it still imparts and quells my rising fears. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, lamp to my feet and a light to my way to guide me safely home. This lamp through all the tedious night of life shall guide my way, till I behold the clearer light of an eternal day. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, lamp to my feet and a light to my way to guide me safely home.
This morning's scripture reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. And it reads, "As Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven."
Jesus gives us lots of parables, but we're going to be looking at parables from Matthew chapter 13 today. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn there and open there along with me, we'll be reading from here. I think as we look at this, we saw just in our scripture reading this morning that Jesus was going to establish his kingdom upon this earth, and that it says the gates of Hades, or gates of hell, shall not overcome it. Now, so what we know and understand that there are two kingdoms that we're going to be talking about today, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, and also the kingdom of Satan. We're not going to spend a lot of time on Satan, but we will see it as we go through and read some of these parables from this chapter today. So to read with me now, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him. So that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. So I think as we look at this and think about it, that as we look at the parables of Jesus, he did speak many parables. And many times it was even more than, of course it's much more than just in this one chapter that we're going to look at today. But as we look at these chapters, the parables that we're going to look at today, it's important for us to be open to what Jesus is saying to us. Now understand that at first, even his disciples sometimes didn't understand what Jesus was saying, and he would explain it to them. And so as we go along today, I do not pertain to put myself in Jesus' place, but the Bible does help us understand these things as we read through them to understand them. First of all, let's look at the parable of the tares in verses 24 through 30. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. In another parable, he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owners came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, when at the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, 'First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So when you think about the wheat and the tares, I think it's important that we look at the idea that they look alike. A lot of ways, and they look very similar when they're green and growing. And it seems like his servants had noticed that there were some tares growing in the field. And they asked Jesus, "Did you not put good wheat out there?" And he said, "Yes, but my enemies have sown these tares." You know, when these things are harvested, and we'll look about the explanation about here in a minute, but when they harvested wheat at that time, they pulled the wheat, the whole thing out, and they took it and they beat it. They beat the heads to get the wheat out of the chaff, and they separated the wheat from the chaff, and they did things like that. My parents, one of the things that they did that was interesting that I did, that I grew up with, didn't even think of it as my part of my everyday life. Now, they weren't harvesting the wheat, but what we would do is that they had a wheat grinder that they ground wheat to make their bread. But my dad, I mean, we must have bought 50-gallon bags, you know, we put out on the, that they would buy of wheat, and they'd pour some on the table, and then we would begin to, like this, finger by finger, piece by piece, take out all of the dead bugs and everything else that was not wheat. And it took a long time, but it was something Mom and Dad and I did together, and I didn't think a whole thing about that. Well, this is not strange, until I realized that most people probably did not do this. But you see what was happening here, that if they'd done this, then they harvested them together, then they'd really be badly mixed up. But so what he told them to do is that what you do when you go out to the fields, then wait till its harvest is ready, then you can tell the difference. And when you pull it up, then you can take the tares out, and you can take the good wheat out and separate them. But don't do it now, because you would ruin the wheat if you started pulling out the weeds in the fields at this time. So let's look at the parable here, and the parable explained to us in verses 36 through down through verse 43. 36, "Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went to the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping or wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So here it begins. Jesus begins to tell us that there are two kingdoms in this world: the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the wicked one, which is the devil. Sometimes we think that, well, there's many different kind of kingdoms, but not as far as God is concerned. There's the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of the church. Jesus said, of course, in Matthew chapter 16 that we read, and he said that, "I will give you, this is my church, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." So we see that the church and the kingdom are one and the same that he's talking about here. And so he's saying that there is one. So there's two forces in this world, right? We understand that. Good and evil. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of Satan. And he calls them the wicked ones, right? He calls them those that are of Satan. In verse 39, "The enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels." So let's put this together with what else the Bible says about the end of time. What's going to happen at the end of time? Well, first of all, when Jesus comes with his angels in the skies of the heaven, that first of all, the dead in Christ are going to be called up to meet him, and then those of us who are alive and faithful to him will be caught up to meet him in the sky. And then the reaping takes place. The angels will come and take them away and cast them into the lake of fire. You know, a lot of times we don't want to talk about that lake of fire, do we? We don't want to think about that. Well, not everybody's going to go to heaven. Our world, our religious, Christian religious world, many, many times, doesn't matter what anybody does, you hear preachers all the time preaching somebody into heaven. That's not my job. Is it yours?
No.
That's God's job. We don't have any right to say, oh, this person was such a good person, and everybody said they're sitting. That's not the same guy that I know. So we have to realize that what is going to take place, who's going to judge, is that God is going to judge. Jesus is going to judge those people. And it says that they're going to be judged. As you go on down to verse 40, it says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. All those that offend. How do you offend God? You sin against God. Sin is what offends God. And if we sin against God and don't repent and turn back to him, we're going to be facing the fires of hell. And I don't mean this to be a fire and brimstone sermon, but we need to realize this and not pass over the idea that God says there's a heaven and that there's a hell. And there's going to be a judgment day when we must face him, and whether it be to be determined where we are going to be. We want to be with God forever, right?
Amen.
We want to be with him and be pleased with him and walking with him and living with him. And therefore, we have to know that this fire that's going to take place is something I don't want to be a part of. We don't want to be a part of. I mean, it is a frightful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, the Bible says. It's a frightful thing. But it's also a joyous thing when we know that we're walking with God and are righteous and living with him. And so God's telling us this kingdom, about this parable of the kingdom, so that we will be ready, so that we will know. Because, in the book of 1 John, over 100 times the word know is there, that you might know that he is the king, that we might know that we're right with him. We can know that we're right with God, and that we will be harvested as the wheat is harvested, so that we will be called into God's kingdom with him. I don't think anyone wants to be in that fire of hell. That's one of the reasons we do evangelism, for example. We want to invite people to come and walk with God, to live with him, to be peace with him, to be right with him, to be justified, to be made without sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for us. That's what he wants for all men. The Bible says in Peter, God wants all men everywhere to be saved. All men, everywhere is what God wants. But we know that there are people that have rebelled against him forever, even in the time of Jesus, even in the time of the apostles, even the time the church was growing. People rebelled against that idea that they had this one way to be right with God. And we want to help people to do that today. Let's look at the parable of the mustard seed in verses 31 and 32. Backing up just a little bit in our story, in our text. Another parable, this is verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. I really like this picture of the mustard seed tree. You know, a little bitty tiny seed, one of the tiniest seeds to plant. Now, we think about planting a mustard seed today. I've been a gardener, but I've never planted any mustard seeds. Anybody here plant mustard seeds? Jamie, have you? No. I haven't. And so when we think about this, look at what it becomes. Look at this tree. Isn't that a beautiful tree? You can see the golden leaves on it and how beautiful it is, how much it produces. One seed, one tiny seed did that. You know, what can happen about the kingdom of God? How is this like the kingdom of God? Well, think about Jesus, okay? Think about when he started. Remember when he was with Peter, he went after his baptism. Of course, he went in through the sufferings, the trials, the 40 days of fasting. And then he comes back and John says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, John and Andrew begin to follow him. Then Andrew goes get his brother Peter, and they start following him. And then later on, Jesus calls Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. So there's four people following him now. So we understand that God has a place for the people. And it started small with Jesus, didn't it? But it wasn't long before Jesus had 12 apostles. And it wasn't long before he was preaching to huge crowds 5,000 plus men and women at one time, 4,000 another time, and it began to grow. But then, at his crucifixion, it seemed that all had collapsed. But it had not, because it says in Acts chapter 1 that 120 people were praying when the apostles received fire from heaven and was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to preach the gospel. You know how many people heard? About 3,000 people that first day were baptized into Christ. Started small again. And it says that while Jesus was here on this earth, that he spoke to, appeared to that 120. Another time he appeared to 500 at one time. We don't know how many others he appeared to, but again, it started small and then it grew. And it grew very fast in the first century times. But we have to believe that God can do that today with one seed. What does the Bible tell us that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to plant. We're supposed to water. Who brings the increase? God brings the increase, right? God brings the increase. But we have to have the faith to put the seed in the ground. If we don't put the seed in the ground, it's not going to grow. You can't leave the seed standing on a hard surface, can you? Not going to work. We got to plant it, and that's what we're striving to do. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God, how God is going to grow and become and be what his kingdom wants us to be today. Okay, let's look at another one that's very familiar to us also, the parable of the leaven. The next verse, verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. Again, I have to go back to my parents again because this is so familiar to me. My mom, when I told you, I think I've told you this before, is a bread maker. She loved to make bread. But I remember this so well. I would see her take a bowl, maybe about this size, and put the things that she needed, flour and salt and leaven, into the yeast, we called it, right, into the bowl. And then it would only be maybe this high, you know, this much stuff in the bottom of the bowl. And then she would take a towel in the evening, a moist towel, and put it over the top of the bowl. And I used to wonder as a kid, not realizing what was happening, why is he doing that? And then the next morning, that towel would be bulging out, kind of like this was. I don't remember it ever running over. Maybe it did. I'm sure it must have sometimes. But then she would take it, of course, and she'd punch it down and make it into loaves and so on. So later on in life, when I was living by myself, and I made some bread also from the same kind of recipe. And it would always seem like I don't have enough here, but I always followed the recipe because I didn't want to put too much in it. And sure enough, it would do the same thing. I'd put my mom did it, so I did it, put a damp towel over the top of it. So how does that relate to the church? How does that relate to us? It's kind of like the seed, isn't it? You put a little bit in, a little bit of yeast, or leaven as it's called, and put a little bit in, and with the other things that you're doing, and it multiplies it. When I first realized what was going on, I said, that's just miraculous. You know, how God works. How God planned that yeast to make it grow. We're going to see miraculous. I'm not talking about a miracle like walking on water or anything like that. But when God works in our lives and God works in his church in a way that's miraculous, is it not? God blessing and doing things that we have to have by faith. Trust him. We have to have the faith to plant the seed. We have to have the faith to put the leaven in the mix so that it'll rise and we can have bread. And then once you punch that down again, why in the world are you punching it down? You put it in those bread pans, and again, it's not full. But guess what it's like when it comes out of the oven? It's all the way over the top of the bread, and you got this nice brown loaf, and it's full grown. God can work his way in our lives. God can work his way in the church today. And as we continue on, and I really appreciated what James McMillan had to say in class today, we need to continue on. We need to continue on about the people that are the doubters. Now, think about it for a minute. If we did not put that leaven or yeast in that flour mix, what would have happened? It would have been flatter than a doornail, you know. And what we would do, we also see here, is that what do we partake of this morning? Unleavened bread that has no yeast in it. And therefore, it could not grow like that. And that's, of course, that's what God wants us to do, to remember him, and that's fine. But we have to understand that if we're going to do that, we're going to get crackers and not bread. We want to get bread. So we got to put the yeast in. And sometimes, a lot of times, there's things that are made that are not leaven, that are not bread. But what we're looking for is what God is looking for, is leaven, so his church can grow. Let's go on. Let's look at the hidden treasure in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Just imagine that you are walking out in the field that's not yours, and you stumble on something, and what in the world is that? And you dig around it and look at it and find that it's a treasure full of gold or some great wealth. And so maybe you do what you do, what this baby man did here, is that he went and buried it again, went and sold all that he had to buy that field. Why'd you sell everything you have to buy that field? Because not that field was so worthy, but the treasure that's in the field. God values his church like that. His church is worth everything. That's why Jesus says that we should deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. That's why he says we must lose ourselves to follow him. Because when we have him, we have more than anything else, more than anyone else could have. We cannot win what he has. Why did he ask the rich young ruler to give up everything that he has and give to the poor and come follow me? Because Jesus knew. Jesus knew that if that man would do that, he would have so much greater benefit and wealth. Not physical wealth, but greater wealth spiritually. A greater place in heaven with God. If he would do that, if he would give up everything that he had and come follow me. That's what Jesus was asking of him. That's what he's asking of us. And sometimes we just can't see it. I mean, it's so hard to see. Why should we do that? Because you see, he says, if we do that, if we sell all that we have, we will have such a great treasure that we could have never had before. Then we look at the costly pearl in verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. So when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, I don't relate to this one as well as some of the others, but it makes sense to me, too. Here's a pearl merchant. This pearl merchant had been possibly working his whole life to buy pearls, buy and sell pearls. But he comes across one that is of great worth, great value. And he so sells all his pearls, maybe all his business, so he could come back and buy this one pearl, which is worth of great worth. What does it say exactly? How did it say it? He found it. The king is like a man which found. I'm reading the wrong place. Yeah, there it is in verse 44. A man found it and hid, and for joy he goes out and sells all that he has. That's buying the field. Verse 46. I apologize. In verse 1, he found one pearl of great price. He went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, he must have realized that there was a great value in the kingdom of heaven. That's what God wants for us to do today. He wants us to realize what he's put out before us. And so many people did not realize what they were being offered. Like the Apostle Paul and Silas. They were trying to get the good news out to the Jews and Gentiles alike. To let them know that there's something here better than you've ever thought of, but you ever knew about before. And I want you to have it. And some people accepted it with joy. And others said, you've got to be crazy. You're out of your minds. We have to realize there are going to be people like that in our world today. There's people out there that will say, this is the best thing I ever heard. Best thing I ever seen. I want this for my own life. And that there's that are going to say, you're crazy. You know, and we have to realize that people are going to tell us that we're crazy. I don't want anything to do with that. But that's okay. Jesus said, when you find people like that, you go on to the next city. You go on to the next people and talk to them and let them know. Because there are people in our world today that may not know what they want. But when they can find the pearl of great price, they can realize that and be brought to Christ. And they'll want to buy it by giving their whole life to him. And then we look at the dragnet in verses 47 down through verse 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Think about the dragnet. You know how they fished? They had big nets. They don't let anybody do that much today with nets, do they? You have to fish with a fishing line. I'm thinking about out in Washington State where we lived, and my son lived on a river where the salmon would come in. You're allowed 3 salmon a day. It used to be 5, and it was dropped down to 3, but you're allowed 3 salmon a day that you could keep. One time I caught a really big salmon, and I thought I did a great thing. And my son said, "Dad, you got to throw that one back." I said, "That's the biggest fish I ever caught. It was about 12 pounds. And he said, "Nope, that one is so old, you wouldn't be able to eat that if you ever tried." So I had to throw that fish back. It about broke my heart. But here, they gather all of these fish, right? They gather all these fish in the nets. Why would they throw some back? Well, according to the Jews, you couldn't eat all the kinds of fish. You couldn't eat ones like carp that were bottom feeders, or like catfish that had no scales. And so they would, this kind of fish, they would sort out and throw back, or maybe even throw up on land. I know that I've seen many, many people, when they're fishing to catch carp, they throw it up on the land because they say, "Well, that's just trash fish." But anyway, once you do that, then that's like the dragnet that's taking place here. You see, we're throwing nets out for the kingdom of God, and we want to gather everybody in. Now, we're not going to sort them out, but God will sort them out, right? God will sort them out, and we have to be ready to encourage everyone, to try to save everyone. Paul said, I become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. That's God's job. Our job is to gather. And as we gather them, but then there's going to come a day like this. It says in the last part of this, in verse 49, it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just. Now, think about the tares and the wheat that we just looked at. Who's going to separate? At the end of time, once the righteous are called to heaven, the angels are going to come back and take these evil ones, wicked ones, that have not been a part of the kingdom of God. And what does it say again? Listen to this carefully. And cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, some people picture hell as just not as bad a place as heaven. My friends, this is not what the Bible pictures it at. This is a place where there's going to be a furnace of fire, a wail, and gnashing of teeth. I've never hurt so much that I gnashed my teeth, but I'm sure that maybe there has been some. All right? And you know, we don't want that for eternity. We don't want that for all time. And what God is calling us to do is to send out and gather the fish into his kingdom. And he will do the separating. We need to call them in and reach them in to bring them in the lost so that they can know Jesus Christ and to be saved in him. And then let's look at a couple, let's look at verses 34 and 35 and verse 51 as we look at how we should understand these things. Verse 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept in secret from the foundation of the world." Then drop down to verse 51. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." God wants us to understand. Jesus wants us to know what he's teaching us. That's why he explains so many of the parables, sometimes just to his apostles, because all those were not ready, not everybody was really ready to hear the explanation. But Jesus explained it to us. He explains it to us because we have the Word of God. We can understand and think these things through. And God wants us to understand. He wants us to see. He wants us to hear. And wants us to know the truth of his Word of God, the Word of God today. "For the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven, as he was walking amongst the earth, he says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. He said some who were standing there would not see death until they saw the kingdom of heaven in John chapter 9. So Jesus wants us to know about his kingdom. Why? So we can be a part of it, so that we can be saved, so that we can be right with God. That's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to know his kingdom so that we can be saved, so that we can have part in joining and saving the others. So what do you do? What will you do about the kingdom of God? Do you want to be in the kingdom, or do you want to be in the kingdom of Satan and end the way that we've been talking about today? I hope none of you want the kingdom of hell. I hope all seek after the kingdom of righteousness, and so that you will give your heart and your life and your soul to him. Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
Jesus calls us to the tumult of our lives, while restlessly day by day his sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, make us hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
After our closing prayer, would you be seated for just a moment, and then I'll talk to you about some people that we want to try to reach next. So let's go ahead, James.
In a moment, we will be led by Brother Mike Porter in a closing prayer. We want to keep in mind all those in our prayer list. Keep encouraging one another. Keep lifting them up to our God, the ones that can't be with us, and just do whatever you can to encourage them. Let them know they're important to us. Let them know they're missed by us. Be serious about our work in this evangelism program. If we want the lampstand of God to continue in our community, it's up to us, and it will, in fact, if we are diligent about our effort. So let's be committed to that. The last parable, they're a pretty sobering parable, really, in a lot of ways. Look at that more in the days to come, and find out exactly who that's talking about. That's talking about us in the church. Is there anything else that we need to make known to the congregation, James?
The cards from the Turpin family, put it on the bulletin board by the mailbox room, by the coat room.
All right.
There's also the information from Miss Ross's family. And also remember that Stacy and Krista has invited anybody that wants to participate in the compassion cards needs to meet in the little office.
That's going to be this afternoon, right here after morning? After Doug's done?
Yes.
All right.
And I placed another card back there late, so if you came in and signed a card, there's still another one that needs to be signed.
All right. Anything further before we go to God in prayer? All right. Let's pray, and then we'll be seated.
Let's go to our God. Most righteous and heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this sermon today. We just want you to accept all the songs and scripture readings that we have done here today. We ask you to help over those that's trying to bring new people into this church. There's so many things that we're thankful for that we want you to help us with. We ask you to look over all those military people overseas around the areas where Iran's attacking, and the naval base in Bahrain, and the places attacked in Dubai, and just look over all the innocent people that love you, dear Lord. You know, there are so many that don't have the privilege of being in a church today. I want to thank you and thank everything you do for us. And thank your friend, your son Jesus, for sacrificing yourself on a cross for the redemption of our sin. You give us so much, and we need to be more thankful to you. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, remember these cards that you picked up? If you haven't done one yet, please take time and write down the people, at least as many as you can. If you can write down 10 families or 10 individuals that you want for us to be considered.